This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is the XNC Podcast, your Xbox newscast featuring Colt Eastwood, hosting industry interviews and gaming talk live on YouTube every Monday night at 5 p.m. on the West Coast, 8 p.m. on the East Coast. For all of you listening around the world, XNC Podcast is available on demand on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Welcome to the show. Join the chat, hit the like button, and let's get into this week's topics with the XNC Podcast live. Get in here. Get in here. We're live. This is XNC Podcast.
We're live.
Welcome. I've got a couple of the most overrated and underrated content creators in the galaxy. I've got good friends of mine. Oh, I love when I bring on people that I really know because we can just talk the gaming news and I don't get nervous. I still get nervous. Asa, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm awesome. It's exactly like you say. This is it's a prestigious show and I love it. But I'm also sitting down with two friends, got loads of familiar people in chat, and we're talking video games. It's awesome. It's 1 a.m. in the morning here, but I'm part badger, so perfect time.
Yes. Yes. It's so awesome. That's what I love about like the UK guys. They do not rest and they take the big sacrifice so we can have a good show. Asa sees the people in the chat. Like, these are the people that we love. I should give a quick introduction for those of you who are going to pretend like you don't know who Asa is, but Asa is the other half of the mega corporation Game On Daily, an up and coming incredible aggregation news site for gaming news. They have a great they have like the smorgasbord, right, Fonz? The smorgasbord of gaming content,
right?
They have the sauce, they have the entertainment, they have the news, they have the tech analysis. So Asa, say hi to everybody. That's your official intro.
Oh. That is awesome. Yeah, I've got to say, actually, yeah, thanks, Colt. Game On Daily is a news aggregation platform. It's a social place, so please do. When you're done watching Colt's fantastic XNC, it's going to be a great show, then hop on over there and see what's going on in the news.
Right. I got to give an introduction. I don't normally do, like, big introduction. I'm not, like we got Cognito and Fonz, the guy I'm about to introduce. Fonz down here, I got to point, like, over to him. I don't know how you do that, but I've known Fonz for over 4 years. He's a true friend. Met him in real life. He is like one of the top talented, most creative guys. Comes up with stuff that makes you laugh, stuff that makes you think, and sometimes makes you rage. Jay Fonzarelli, welcome to the show.
I like that. I do make some people rage. Sometimes there's a lot of people out there that are like, I don't like this guy. And I'm like, that's okay. But can we have a conversation and keep it civil? You know, it's just gaming at the end of the day. But yeah, I do have some takes sometimes that a lot of people, it just rubs them the right way. And when I say a lot of people, I mean a lot of fanboys.
Oh, we're going to talk about some of those fanboys today, whether Asa is going to allow us to or not. But this is the XNC. Yeah.
He's the level-headed guy of the group right now, okay?
He is. That's why I didn't really know who Asa was until I guested on his show. And then I'm like, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. I'm going to learn something for a minute. So,
yep.
But hey, look, I got to give this is the XNC podcast or the Xbox Newscast podcast. And I'm Colt Eastwood. I'm the host. And if you're listening after the fact, that's because we're on Anchor through Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Podcasts, and a couple other platforms. But you're live right now on YouTube on the channel. And shout out to over 200, almost 300 people watching live. If you could take a second and move the chat out of the way, hit the like button. Just to show your faith that maybe you're going to enjoy the show, we're going to do our best to entertain you and inform you. And I'll let Fonz entertain and I'll let Asa inform, and they'll kind of flip flop back and forth, do a little both.
There we go. That's but what yeah, I want to hear.
Shout out to Yudani Kazada. He's been a channel member for 22 months. That means that he's gone above and beyond to support the channel. He's got the Cortana custom emoji badge that I drew, and his comment is highlighted there in green. He says, "Please introduce Asa for what he is." It went away for. He's a fervent fanboy. That is a lie.
That is awesome. I appreciate that. That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. Welcome to what is Fonz putting up on screen?
I hit the like button live on camera.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, was that a folding phone?
Yeah, that was my folding phone.
Bring that back up and I'll look at the live feed. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, come on. Guys. Shout out to Fonz for having.
But it's great
phone.
To draw.
Because my stuff is all skewed. But
see,
yeah.
He's got the same thing. Look at that.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe this. I just had this little dinky phone here. I feel terrible.
Little. Okay. That's a note. A note.
It's a note, but if I try to fold it, I think something terrible is going to happen. But this
all
is
Android here. Uh-oh. What does that mean?
Yeah. I just saw the reflection on camera. My phone is filthy. I make my scrambled eggs on it. But we've got a kind of a crazy show today. There's been some big news, but there's a couple of kind of touchy subjects we're gonna touch today, and we're gonna have fun with it. I think we're gonna talk about those. But shout out to the chat. You guys are amazing. We got Mo B. Thank you so much for the $5 super chat. It says Colt, Asa, and the big homie Fonz. Let's go. So it's good to have a full house.
All right,
we're gonna have a good time. Let's start off by real quick, Asa. What have you been playing? Tell people what had you happy behind the controls.
Right before this show, I've been playing the Rift Breaker, on stream, and it's awesome fun. I don't know if you know it, but it combines real time strategy base building. But rather than building like an army and training your infantry and your tanks and stuff, you are the army. You control a mech suit and you upgrade that instead, so it goes twin stick shooter. But it looks gorgeous, so, and the number
does
of enemies
it have
that
some real time combat as well as
the combat's very much real time. It's like a twin stick shooter. You start off in a pretty powerful mech, but you upgrade all your guns and stuff. You get into your explosives. I'm terrible at it, so I've been trying to get through this survival mode, but it has this Twitch integration. So I've got a Twitch channel that I stream on, and it lets the people that are watching vote on certain events every like 6 or 7 minutes. And those pricks keep on like dropping meteors on me. I hope that's okay to say. They keep dropping meteor shells onto my face.
Yep.
Wow. Because I love it. I say that in the fondest of terms. It's an awesome little community, but it's making the game hard.
But it's got the audience kind of helping you play the game in the worst way possible. Yeah. What about you, Fonz? I already know the answer because Fonz and I have been talking about this. Tell
Far Cry 6. Far Cry 6. Playing
you
a lot of Far Cry 6. I'm hooked. That game is going to last me at least a month. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much to do in that game. And I've been doing a lot of the mainline story right now. The story's not bad. Like, it's decent. Yeah. It's when you go outside the story and start doing some of the side stuff that it gets kind of weird, you know? But that's Far Cry. Far Cry does a lot of weird things, and I like it.
Oh, we've been playing it so much. I think I've developed a really great Spanish accent. From just getting like totally immersed in the world and listening to the music, and I'm just like, when we're playing the game, like we just start, you know, when you get around friends, you start talking the same. Yeah, we're in the party chat, like just like sharpening our best accents. So it's been a pretty fun time.
It's been fun.
That's me too. I think I'm gonna play this game like an entire month. It says I have like 3 days in it, but probably some of that's in quick resume. But yeah, it's been such a fun game.
Still don't get all the hate for it, by the way. Still don't understand it.
Yeah,
I get some people have open world fatigue, but man, if you're looking for a Far Cry game, this is it. It's a Far Cry game on steroids. So.
Oh yeah. I'm calling it the greatest hit. Have you played this Far Cry 6 yet, Asa? It's like the greatest hits of Far Cry.
I absolutely love that you can slide tackle the horses. I don't know why, but that's how I play games. I'm a bit of an idiot. And I love that when you're injured and you press Y or whatever, it's the heel, and your character puts their broken hand in front and just fixes the fingers. I've been doing that ever since to myself. Like, snap, fix,
or pulls a
snap.
Piece, like a nail out of their hand. The best one is the extracting a bullet out of the wrist with pliers, and the sound it makes, the little blood trail goes... It's like, oh my gosh.
By the way, Carolina Gamer in the chats asked if it's co-op. Yes, it is co-op. Far Cry 6 is co-op.
Yeah, it's drop in, drop out. You don't have to start a session. You can just if it's open, like dealer just jumps in and goes, okay, we're gonna go mess stuff up, or you can send an invite. So yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, I think this is the last. They'll have to mix it up after this, but I'm pretty happy with it. But we are going to. I know people are itching to talk about this, and I guess we'll get started in instead of like saving this for the end, but. I think that one of these super chats here actually will get us rolling on this on the subject. Flame, thank you so much for the $2 super chat. He says the Fable thing got me. We were bamboozled. Let's reset for the audience. I actually had to write down this tweet because it was deleted. So yesterday, Xbox Global Publishing. This is the team that does all of the third party and second party deals. They're out there looking for studios that want to partner with Xbox. For a one-time or reoccurring to make a game an exclusive for the Xbox platform. So they tweeted out, I've got the quote here. Don't mind the white screen as I get to this, but here's the, I want to read it word for word. I'll start with you, Asa. I'm going to read it for word, and we're going to dissect what the heck is going on with Xbox Global Publishing, which is a massive part of the Xbox Game Studios team. They said, quote, we're excited to kick off something special tomorrow. Parentheses. Just give us one more day to prepare the chickens. Were you watching this unfold yesterday, Asa?
I came to the same immediate conclusion as everybody else. You're kicking chickens. It's Fable. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why Xbox Global Publishing would be talking about Fable, but that's such a direct like fan little nudge to Fable, and I don't understand. And then, I mean, I won't go into what happened next, but...
But what happened? I mean, what
I'll
happened?
Let you take it from there, but...
Because everybody was
Nothing
going
happened.
Crazy.
Nothing happened. They doubled down on the Fable of it because everybody would already draw the Fable conclusion just from that. Like kicking and chickens is just how you know Fable. It's like mm-hmm. I don't know. It's how you spend hours of time. There was achievements in the game based on it. It's known for it. And then they doubled down on it by saying like, oh, we'd use the name Fable, except it's already taken. Like we know
the Fable
that it was a Fable to eat.
Yeah,
but. And then in terms of actual announcements, they just turned around and said, sorry, there's not really anything to announce. It was a baffling little turnaround. I don't know.
It was kind of a, it was a bamboozle. Fonz, were you watching this thing unfold?
Yeah. And I immediately thought the same thing too. Fable. I mean, when you think of kicking chickens, besides Fable, I mean, where can you do that in any game besides Fable? You can kill a chicken in Far Cry. But, yeah, kicking it, that's definitely Fable. I don't understand why they put this tweet, or these tweets, I should say, out there.
Well, they didn't say kicking chickens. I mean, I don't know, chat, let us know if you were watching this unfold, but the quote was, let me go back to it, because it's super important, because they deleted the tweets. So
the whole Fable anniversary thing, too, it just, I mean,
just give us one more day to prepare the chickens. So that,
yeah,
like, prepare them as what? Like, cook them or prepare them for the news? Right, so I can see where you and Ace are getting the kicking chickens.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah, maybe that was it. But the Fable thing right after, also, you know, the Fable name was already taken. I was just like, come on, like it's obviously Fable. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, oh no, we ain't got nothing to see. You know, everything's okay over here. There's no big news coming. Nothing about Fable. Just keep it moving. And I was just like, really? Like, what did you do all that for then? It to me, it was a kind of a big fat L. In a way, it was a big fat L.
Let's break down the very first part of the reaction from Asa. Asa says, "I don't know why they're using Xbox Global Publishing was tweeting this out." Asa, have you kind of broken down why? Because this is some of the one of the first things I did was I went to the phone and called Rand, like phone a friend. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, so Xbox Global Publishing is a partner relations like branch of Xbox. They work with third parties. So Fable's obviously an in-house IP that Microsoft own, and we know that Playground are developing the big next Fable game. So for Xbox Global Publishing to start tweeting about Fable, and I still can't interpret it any other way, kind of implied that they were working with a third party to do something with that property, or... Who knows? It's so weird because they didn't just not have any Fable news. They turned around and said, actually, this tweet wasn't about anything, really. Like, I don't know. We're just going to work on a Monday like normal.
And nothing happened
Monday. Cryptic tweet the day before. Like, nothing happened at all.
So, Vons, what's your speculation?
Like, well, my speculation was that it could be like a remaster somebody's working on, you know, for Fable.
Right.
Remake, something along
like
those lines.
The trilogy? Like, some of us were thinking.
Like a trilogy. Maybe they were being remastered, remade, or maybe they were falling into the whole backwards compat thing where it'll get a 60 frames boost. Who knows? Auto HDR, all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, it meant something to them. It definitely meant something to them at the time when they tweeted. Because you just don't make tweets like that and then, you know, retract them. That just doesn't happen, especially for Xbox Global Publishing. That's not like a oopsie. No, there was something going on, and they had to retract it. They were probably told, hey, pull that. We're not ready to announce something.
Okay. I'm with
That's
you,
the
Fons,
way I interpret it.
I was thinking it could be two different things. It could be Fable-related, or it could be some game that they're coming out with that has something to do with chickens. And then, like, once the PR manager got involved and said, look, you got everybody thinking it's Fable related, but then they said the Fable anniversary name was already taken. So it does scream like a Fable anniversary remake or a trilogy remaster. I don't know.
If it was a Halo remake or trilogy remake, is that something that you'd want?
Not me personally.
Yeah, go ahead, Fons.
Not me personally.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge... Okay, it's going to upset people. I'm not a huge Fable fan, but I understand that a lot of people love them. It's a beloved franchise. For me, I was an adult at the time, and I really didn't like the humor and stuff in the game. It didn't hit me, okay? But I'm looking forward to the new Fable to see what they can do with that at Playground Games. So,
of course,
a remaster or a remake really doesn't do anything for me, but it would do a lot for a lot of Xbox gamers out there, for sure.
Oh, Fons, you're rubbing me out the wrong way.
You've played quite a bit of these games back in the day.
I loved them in the day, but I don't think they'd stand up now. So
right, I agree.
A remake, maybe, but a remaster, no, because they're all like so enclosed. It was like base Xbox, so technology's moved a long way. And I loved Fable, and I loved the humor in it. And everything about it did a lot for like my kind of gaming history, but I wouldn't want to play it with shinier graphics.
Well, three looks pretty good. I have the three on the 360 on disc, so I can put it in the 360 in the other room, and it looks kind of nice. It's really jaggedy because it's like that sub 720p era on last generation consoles. I'm with you two guys because Fable doesn't the old Fable, like, you know, prettying it up, like, the Fable 2 already looks, it runs at 4K 30 with the Xbox One X enhancement, but you still have that 30 frames. It's still that great game that people love. Fable 2 is like the pinnacle. I think first and second are both really highly scored. So, yeah, I mean, what a thing to do to Xbox guys. Right now, we're like on the edge waiting for big news from Xbox. They've been so quiet this past summer since E3 landed, right, Fons? Like, this is a bad thing to do.
Yeah, but again, I have to go back to the Fable remaster, Asa. I agree with you from my standpoint, the way I view it, but I think that there's a lot of Fable fans out there that would welcome a remaster. I really do. I've seen them. I've seen them talk on Twitter, in podcasts. There are people that are really interested in remasters for some of these older games, and it just depends on the game for me. And for this one, not so much. But my whole thing is, Colt, the thing is, them saying this stuff, as I said earlier, I got to reiterate, you don't just post something like that on social media without actually having, like, something to say.
They knew. That tweet doesn't happen, Fons. Like, that tweet didn't get vetted through. Like, that tweet went through approval process. It got bounced through PR, and it got pushed forward. So, Fons, you're on to something. Something happened Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, something happened and said, no, not now. And then they took it back. And, you know, maybe they're waiting for something else. Who knows? The Keelys are right around the corner.
What's the rooster's name on Far Cry?
Chicharron?
Chicharron, yeah. Maybe a Chicharron came in and with the talons. But that something, you're right.
There's something going on.
Do you think Fons is right, Asa? Do you agree with us? Something funky happened on Sunday?
Something must have happened. They wouldn't put that tweet out and have nothing to talk about. And then, obviously, they had nothing to talk about on Monday. So, yeah, someone has spilled the beans too early, like got a bit overexcited and started to talk about an announcement that they thought was going to happen, and no, something changed.
Yeah. Hey, I'm watching you, chat. I'm watching you. They're making KFC, Chick-fil-A jokes. They've got them nonstop. There's no rest for the wicked. KFC. Hey, KFC had a bad take, didn't they?
Shout out to General C. General C says the Keelys. Yes, the Keelys. I call the video game awards the Keelys. Sorry.
Yes, absolutely. We call them the Keelys. Yeah. I'm watching you, chat. You guys are good. You got the chicken jokes. Going full time, Kentucky Fried Chicken. You guys saw this. KFC said that Back for Blood was every classic has its. What is it? Cheap Imitation?
Cheap Imitation, yeah.
Yeah.
Back for Blood fired back with 11 herbs and spices, but still no taste.
Mm. Gosh, that's a good one.
I bet you they didn't ratio KFC, but good on them. Yeah. I know we probably don't agree on Back for Blood. I know Fonz and I are like, right? We're kind of like,
Back for Blood. I like what Tim calls it, Back for Bed.
So, Ace, are you liking Back for Blood?
I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm enjoying it, but I don't know that I want to go through it more than once.
It's fun with friends.
Completion of the campaign. It's fun with friends. I want to go through with friends through the campaign. Yeah. The cards is like an interesting thing, but it's not going to give me longevity to keep on playing it and up the difficulty and things like that. I just want to blast through the campaign. Then we'll have to see what they do. The versus mode, absolutely not. Not interested in the versus mode in the slightest.
No. Nothing that they can do to change that. It's got a good feel. Like, the shooting feels good. The graphics are pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's definitely an evolution from what we loved from Left 4 Dead. But I got in some weird discussion on social media about Back 4 Blood this past couple days, because I'm kind of like, I'm not really feeling inclined to, for two reasons. I'm not feeling inclined to go back and finish the content after playing the first three or four levels in the beta and then doing it again with friends yesterday. Officially, I played with Gaz, and who else was I playing with? Asa, was it you?
It was me.
Yeah. It was you and me and Gaz and a bot, right? Yeah. Because the bot was just like twitching in a corner and stuff and bumping into things. Yeah. So, That's what's so amazing about this community. I've played with so many people that if I forget I played with you, it's because I'm getting old.
You know why you forgot? Because Gaz was in the party, and all you heard was Gaz, right? That's all you heard.
Gaz wouldn't let us get a word in edgewise.
The sauce! That's all you heard.
Yeah. Right. That, but a little bit higher up the octaves, you know?
The sauce! Yeah, you gotta...
Yeah, I can't do sauce. It. I can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, we did... Oh, just like, so you go through you're just kind of like mowing through the first level, and then you get to the third one, and we were like, I'm down over and over. So, yep. I got to bring up, I think I have this later on, but we'll just bring it up now, that there was some bad takes on social media, if you can believe it, but 1.77% of Xbox dudes beat the campaign in Back 4 Blood. Fonz, how long has this game been out on Game Pass and released?
What, a week and a half? 2 weeks? What has it been?
I thought it was like, yeah.
It came out
Tuesday.
Last week,
I think it was last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday.
So not even a full week.
Yeah.
Not even a full week. So I'm not inclined to finish it. So I'm like, well, I don't even know if I'm going to get back to it. I didn't get to it. But the other reason was Far Cry 6.
Yeah.
I'd rather play Far Cry 6, even though it means I could be in a party with Asa and mute Gaz on the mic. But the bad take is that Game Pass guys don't beat games, don't finish games. Asa, where is this data coming from? Game Pass people don't play games.
They're almost certainly looking at a random achievement for completing the campaign on Back 4 Blood. But I was wondering what way that was going to go. 1.77 isn't low for a game that's only been out for a week and a half. I haven't finished it. I intend to, but that's quite reasonable. I don't understand why they've been making a big song and dance. Well, I do understand why. We all know where this is coming from, but it's just antagonistic for no reason with no real basis.
Because you're looking at a few million people that are playing Back 4 Blood essentially for free because of Game Pass, and then if you have the dissenting the side like PlayStation guys who are going to have to shell out $60 to give something like Back 4 Blood a try. What's the score on this game, Fonz?
I don't know.
Have you ever looked?
No, I haven't.
It's like a 60.
But you can say while you're looking at like the Xbox numbers being 1.77, you know how percentages work. There's a huge number of people playing that game on Xbox because it's on Game Pass. If you look at PlayStation, people that are playing it on the PlayStation have invested, I don't know if it's $60 or $70, but they've invested in that game, and they're more likely to plow through it and get to the end. But
is that a problem, though, Asa? What was that meta, Fonz?
78.
78, okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Asa.
Two people here that are like the two of you have both said that you're not massively interested in Back 4 Blood, but if we feel like jumping in a game with some friends, we've all got it and we can jump in and it's great fun.
Yep.
It doesn't matter that you're not massively interested. It's there for us all to just...
I feel the same way about like Warhammer Vermintide. What's the other zombie game? We jump at World War Z, those games.
Yep.
I feel the same way. Like I can have a ton of fun with friends, but it isn't necessarily what I want to do on a whole entire Saturday. I'd rather play something else.
Yeah, I didn't know if I wanted to get into it because, you know, giving long-winded opinions can be, like, boring, but...
Yeah.
Let me just put it this way. There's certain games... Like, I love Dying Light and Dead Island as zombie games, but there's certain games, like the ones you mentioned, Fonz, World War Z, Vermintide, and Back 4 Blood, where the enemies just keep pouring and pouring, and you just mow them down. The best way for me to describe it is it just gets irritating after a while. The zombies are like, nah, nah, all the time. They're just smacking you over and over. And I'm just like, get off of me. Get off of me for like a two-hour session. I mean, I say that a lot. And I used to like that sort of thing. But then you go over to a game like Far Cry or another game where you kind of just live in the world and do your thing and get into your action as you want. So maybe that's just why it just doesn't go for me. But
at least you don't have to necessarily pay for these games. They're in Game Pass.
That's what I wanted to ask you guys. Like, is this a problem? Because, you know, if you're not a Game Pass subscriber and you're looking on the outside, like, you know, like you look over the fence like Wilson from Tool Time and you're like, are you even finishing those games over there in Game Pass? Like, I feel like there's this opinion from a large amount of the community. Yeah, that are like, you're wasting, you know, you're not playing all those games. You don't finish them. You have 400 games. How many you're finishing? You're wasting them. Like, they just put out a brand new game and you're not going to finish it? What a waste. Like, you're wasting the developer's talent and your money. Like, Asa, does that even hold any merit?
The social aspect of Game Pass is phenomenal, and the way that these games can spread, because if we want to play a game on a Friday night and we say, let's play a game, and we just have this massive catalogue, and a game like Back 4 Blood thrives off of that. You've got loads of co-op games that, I mean, Alien Extinction came out as a co-op game, and if you want to play that, it's difficult because you're not going to find, I mean, some people are going to find a group of four people that own that game. I don't know four people that own that game. I couldn't jump into that and play co-op.
You got to talk your buddy into spending $40 or $60, right?
Exactly, and we've just got a selection of games. You can filter it to co-op. You can say, what do you fancy? Oh, we've all got all of these games. You might have a little download to do. That's the biggest like hurdle at the moment, is you might have to download a game.
Or SSD space.
Always SSD space, yeah. But yeah, no, it's phenomenal. And we know, so we had Mike Rose talking about like some of the numbers for Descenders being a multiplayer game and how spread phenomenally because people play it and they introduce it to their friends and they introduce it to their friends. And a load of them can just download it, and those that can't want to get involved, so they go and get it, and it's great service.
And they play together. Yeah. He's talking about Mike Rose, who makes Descenders. It's an indie, right? It's an indie mountain biking game, like mountain bike racing game. It's a really cool little game that if you have Game Pass, give it 15 minutes to see if you like it. I'm pretty sure you'll pop a couple achievements and say, hey, that's pretty cool that this team made this. I got to get to some super chats. They'll kind of pile up. But Ace Out Gamer, thanks for the $5. He said, that's super nice phone, Fins. You sure you don't buy $70 games with such a baller phone? Ha ha, just kidding. Sup, Asa and Colt. Fonz is what he meant to say when he said Fins.
Yeah.
I love doing the old translation when sometimes we write so fast. Cade Forever, thank you so much for the $5. He says, yo, Colt, should Xbox Publishing try and make a push in Korea? Blueprint and Fantagram are still around. Maybe a Kingdom Under Fire reboot. Cade's talking about some stuff that I have not played, but there are some pretty good studios in Korea, aren't they? Are you guys savvy on the Korean talent?
I'm not.
I'm not.
Vaguely,
either, but...
vaguely. So Korean developed games have a tendency to be particularly grindy. It's a very different market. So the whole pay to win kind of scenario isn't as frowned upon. But you can also say, so in terms of like getting penetration into that market, though, which doesn't necessarily mean developing games in that country, it means developing games that appeal to people over there. Korea has phenomenal internet. So
I know.
xCloud.
Do you guys know about the PC bongs over at over in Korea and South Korea? You're probably like, what the heck is that? So PC bong is a, it's spelled for us over in the UK or America as PC bang, but they're these internet cafes that have, you walk in and there's like 50 gaming stations with top of the line PCs and big monitors. And you have touchscreen monitors and you can order food. They bring you noodles, hot dogs, drinks, you name it. Sushi.
I'm there.
Like, oh my gosh. So I was showing my kid these videos. You sit down and the food is dirt cheap because there's like this girl that's an American. She goes, so this is like, this meal right here is like $6 American because she paid whatever it was in the Korean currency. And she orders noodles, a side of sushi, some chips, a soda, and like a little like, you know, Korean Twinkie or something. And she sits there and has access to like hundreds of games on a high-end PC, and they have a headset, a gaming chair. Like, it is a dream. Something America and the UK doesn't have anything like that, do they, Asa?
I'd hate that, personally. I'd go in there and you'd have this wonderful PC with this really high-end hardware and this monitor that's covered in chip grease and barbecue sauce. And why a touchscreen? No.
Yeah.
Apart from that. No,
I mean, I would love to hang out with my friends there, but now, am I too old to go into a internet cafe and order noodles and play games for a Saturday? Oh, man, it sounds so fun.
No,
would you do that, Fonz?
Yes, of course.
It's so awesome.
Probably
I love to
gain
eat,
about 10 pounds on this on that Saturday. Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Shout out to DJ with the $5. Thank you so much. He says, Switch abuse. I don't know what he means, what we were talking about earlier, but...
I don't know either, but don't, Switch abuse.
Don't abuse your Switch. The General C, thank you so much for $1 or 179 pounds, super chai, says, Kojima's next title reveal at the Game Awards. Fonz, you're the resident expert of Kojima.
Oh, I'm not an expert of Kojima. You know, I have a particular, look, the guy's all right, okay? The guy's decent at what he does, but I don't particularly like most of his games, okay? Yeah. Most of them are kind of weird, and, you know, will they show a game of his at the awards? I would bet on it. I would bet on it. Will it be the Xbox secret game? Who knows? But
Asa?
No, it's not the Xbox one. It's only for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
The Xbox one's too early. I think.
Yeah.
I think the Xbox one is a real project, but they did their letter of intent earlier this year. They've not got anything to show yet. I'd be surprised if they do.
Yeah, those things do take time.
And we're
that's
hearing
the hard
like
part.
Metal Gear Solid Remake as well. Like, we're hearing all kinds of crazy stuff.
I'm also hearing Metal Gear Solid Remake is a Blue Point project for PlayStation. Is that kind of where you're pointing that compass?
That means they're working on 4 Bloodborne games and Metal Gear Solid and Silent Hill right now.
Yeah, that's what everybody's saying, right?
Yeah, that's a great segue, Asa, because I was going to say, are they also working on Blue Box's new game? I got to get your opinion on this, Asa. I'll just straight up ask you. Do you think Blue Box is legit? Are they a real studio? Do they have real intent to release something in the near future?
I don't believe so. I don't want to obviously condone any legitimate death threats.
Yeah.
But in this case, I'll be surprised if anyone has said anything to them.
You don't believe that they've been threatened?
Or not as much as when they were relevant in the news? They've been out of the news for a good month or two. So I just don't think that people have suddenly brought it up now. I could be wrong, and obviously it's very serious, and people that are doing that on the internet are like, shouldn't be allowed on the internet or out of a basement. I don't know. It's like sad to think, but I don't believe that studio has any intention of ever releasing a game.
Oh, wow.
Me either. Look at their history. You know, they've never released anything. They've promised games and they've started.
They have a partial game, right?
And never came out with the games. People lost money to their Kickstarters and stuff, and they've just taken people's money at this point. And yeah, I don't trust them personally.
Okay, I put a pin in that. I got a comment here on Chris Neal says, Colt Eastwood, yes, they have those internet cafes here in Northern Virginia, just outside D.C. Those, and yeah, they are gaming cafes, been around like 10 years. A big Korean population in the region he lives. So, wow, that would be awesome. I would love to check that out. But that's, I'm on the other side of the U.S. over here in Washington State. And so, yeah, I would love to do that. So, yeah, Ace, the reason why I asked about Blue Point was one of my friends says he believes, I don't agree with him, but he says that Blue Point is one guy trolling the PlayStation fans, trying to get them riled up and seeing how far he can take it.
Yes and no. I don't think that the intent of Blue Point is to rile up fans. I think the intent of Blue Point is to lead on their investors. That's the scam that I believe they're running. I think they are getting funding for this series of games that never come out. Mm-hmm. Again, this is, I have no like evidence. I'm not alleging a crime here. I am, but not in any legal sense, right? I'm just like speculating from the outside. But yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. They put out that statement saying that it's just really bad. This kind of goes into one of those discussions about delays. Like today we heard that Elden Ring is being delayed 1 month. People have been waiting for that game for almost 4 years. And the initial reaction on social media today was no when Elden Ring got delayed. Fonz, do you think the gamers really tolerate delays, or do they just pretend like they do?
You mean pretend like they tolerate them?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like you know, a delayed game is eventually a good game. The famous quote, right?
No, I believe them 100%, people who post things like that, because honestly, I believe that. I think that a delayed game isn't a bad thing, especially if they need time to work on the game. If it needs polish or if it's got issues, take all the time you need. I'm a very big proponent of that. When it comes to, I say just the opposite. I think a lot of people fake outrage sometimes. I think a lot of people say, oh my God, this is not coming out. And they get really upset and they go on a tirade. And it's like, what is that good for? Like, what are you doing? That's for attention. You're seeking attention at that point. And I don't believe that. I believe 99% of the people who do that it's fake outrage.
Asa, do you think that the gaming community as a whole is okay with delays, or do you think they just secretly hate them?
I
really mean this question.
I was imagining the Twitter fury if it came out that you've been like saying all these things about Blue Point. No, it's Blue Box that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. I said Blue Box. Yeah, thank you, guys. I said Blue Box at the beginning, and I probably did say Blue Point several times after that fact. But yes, we're definitely talking about Blue Box, which is a very, very small studio. Blue Point is a big studio that was acquired by PlayStation. You know that. Thank you for correcting me and misspeaking. But I think you guys knew who we were talking about, but thank you for correcting it for those who...
Colt, I will say, though, that I think more people are upset with the fact that Elden Ring is being pushed to February, which is crowded with games already for 2022.
So
and
that they're not
issue
okay
I can understand being upset about.
Yeah.
That's a lot
you have to
of
choose,
money.
But, I mean, yeah. I'm looking at, like, I looked at the list. I think Shinobi tweeted out there was like 10 games or 8 games coming out in February, and that's just another big one. And don't worry, you'll always find a way to play all the games you want. But
that is not true. I've got a backlog of about 1,000 that I've not played.
Well, I mean, there's always the big ones. Don't you guys backlog some games that you might never finish? Can you admit that? I do.
Yes.
But the big ones get pushed.
I might never start,
right?
Including some big ones.
Usually if I start a game and I don't finish it, it's because I really just don't want to, and I don't like the game as much as I thought I did maybe when I started it, you know? Because if I really like a game, I'll go back and finish a game for sure. I mean, there's been a ton of games.
I've gone back and finished a lot of games I never wanted to go back to because you just kind of forget about them, and I think it's always worth it. It's usually worth it.
That's why I usually try to start one game and that's it, and try to play one game through before I start the next big game. You know, that's the way I've always done it. Like, I know our friend Zocker 87, he likes to jump around from games all the time, game to game. I can't do that, man. I can't do that.
I can't. You literally can't do that. Hey, we got Risk It for the Biscuit. He's a good new friend of the show. He's from Australia.
Yes. He's awesome.
They raised them right over there. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. Those Australian people. We're good friends. So Risk It for the Biscuit, thank you so much for the $8 Australian. I don't know what they call their dollars. They just call it dollar. I'm gonna learn about that. But he says, only on Xbox. Jedi Knight, Peter, and I have been smashing through Back for Blood. It's been a laugh. It's been a one and done for all of us. We just need to kill the big bows. So he's finished the main campaign. And he's part of the 1.77%. Let's see. Hargit Chani. We got to give a shout out to Hargit Chani, who's another amazing supporter of the channel. He's been a channel member for 4 months. He's got the Raz from Psychonauts 2. Emoji badge. He says, you're trying to make sense of the senseless. Haters gonna hate. Game Pass is working and Pegasus Nation is obsessed with it. Oh boy, we love Pegasus Nation. Gotta give a shout out to Ramon G for saying games. Xbox is a cookie monster that has to keep eating. There are a lot of games coming. Let me get a couple more of these and we'll get back to topics. Lord Star Killer X Series X 01. Thank you so much for the $15 super chat. He says, great show with excellent guest Colt. Thumbs up. I mean, gotta have Asa and Fonz on. Gotta have them on. This is their second time returning to the show. So he says, what's up, Fonz? What's up, Asa? Game Pass has unbeatable variety. Facts. Fact of this.
Yep.
So, one last, it's part of this blue box thing. As my voice goes out.
Live shows.
Flame with the $2. He says, check out Nightmind's video. He must be on YouTube. I haven't checked him out. He says, check out their video on blue box scammers, he says.
Yeah. Mm.
I wonder if he pulled together some really tasty evidence. So
Yeah. It's all over the internet, all the scams they've pulled.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of look at it like their small team has bit off more than they can chew. I've been there. Like, I make videos once a week, and I want people to check out my video. You got to entice people and bring them in. I think they capitalized on that.
I would agree with you if this happened maybe twice or three times, but this happened so many times.
With these Blue guys, Box?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what they were doing they knew they were generating buzz with the Silent Hill thing and the PlayStation fans, and you get that positive reinforcement of negative behavior. I think that's kind of what it is. And I've talked about this on the show where people do something bad and they get like a good reward for it, so their mind says, do it again. Send out another tweet that makes fun of Xbox. You get a lot of likes. So I think maybe Blue Box kind of like was feeding off that synergy. Well, but not for the right reasons.
And they had everybody download that app onto the PS5. And there's like several boxes within this app that's supposed to have content coming. And I don't think they've put one thing up on there. And here's the really crappy part is the fact that they told people that, hey, if you were part of the Kickstarter campaign for the older games that we didn't push out, you could get a free copy of Abandon. And it's like, dude, what if this never comes out? Because it's not. Like, man, it's just too much.
Yeah,
it's like not they're good. Just really doing some crappy things.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, I know people are kind of comparing the chicken Xbox tweet to Abandon and Blue Box. But no, hopefully we don't go that far into it. But let's get into the next big hot item, which will be a quick discussion, but I think there's some cool stuff that we learned from this. Xbox announced that the mini fridge is real. The mini fridge is ready to be pre-ordered tomorrow. Woo! Or probably about 8 to 12 hours from now, wherever you guys are at, if you're in Australia or in the UK. So I would think sometime tomorrow, so maybe about 10 or 12 hours from now, the mini fridge. I listened to a Spaces. Did you guys kind of hear the backstory behind the mini fridge, Asa?
I heard bits and pieces. I wasn't in the Spaces, but I've heard about the late night phone calls to make it real.
Right, right. Fonz, what do you know about
just checking the internet to see if I can order
late night phone calls? I didn't hear anything about this. Like, this is something different, man.
So Skittles and Xbox did a poll.
I remember that.
About who's more popular. And Brad Sams, I'm going to pour myself a nice cool beverage of ice water. Brad Sams says, you guys should do the mini fridge if they win. So, yeah, late night phone calls to make it happen. Aaron Greenberg said that they worked with a company that specifically could make a refrigerated unit. So they kind of were, they worked through fan suggestions about what to do with it. So this thing has actual holes, vent holes on the top with a green projecting light, which the Series X doesn't. It's green on the inside with green lights. It can hold up to 10 12-ounce soda cans, which are standard size in the U.S. What, you guys have a standard drink size over there in the U.K.? Teach us all about it, Asa.
330 milliliters, maybe. I'm sure it's exactly the same.
I have no idea what that means. like this?
It's big. No, I'm distorted. It doesn't even work.
I knew out of anybody, oh, that's Asa right. would be the one to know exactly like how many milligrams it is. You know.
Okay, he's holding one up. Okay, yeah. Oh, wait, hold that up again. Sorry, if I'm not on the live stream, I can't live
this
part of it.
A weird one.
Oh, look at the top. That's not it's like really bottlenecked at the top. But they're it looks like it's about the same amount of drink. So, oh man, we're talking about drinks on XNC. But hey, chat, I want you to write fridge in the chat if you're hopping on for a pre-order to get, if you want one of these mini fridges tomorrow. I want to hear about it in the chat if you want one of these, because I definitely want one. Let me tell you about it a little more. You guys can add in from what you know. Isodroman's like, do you guys not use milliliters? Only when we're baking certain recipes. Milliliters, yeah, that's where we have our measuring devices that have both. Yeah. Look at all you guys say, screw it, fridge, yeah. What was I saying? Yeah, this thing has a USB port on the front of it, Fonz. So you can, like, yeah, plug your phone in or charge your Xbox controller.
Ooh, I could put it, like, right here if I had one.
Right, yeah, yeah. Hold on. I got to see. Point to where you're going to put it.
I was just going to put it right there. And now, just grab 18, a soda out. And,
yeah. It's 18 inches tall, Fonz. Is that going to make it?
Yes, it would.
Okay, okay.
It would.
Okay. Just measure my bicep and you'll get close. Yeah, I'm excited for this thing. What else does it do? It can hold a couple candy bars in the door.
It gets cold, I hear. I hear it gets really cold.
How much is it, Asa? How much for the mini fridge?
In the UK, it's like £90. I think it's $100, isn't it? Which is surprisingly reasonable.
Yeah, yeah.
For a novelty item. So.
Yeah, I think it's... I would like to put it right there. I've got like a mini keyboard that I haven't learned how to... like compose music on. That was a purchase I need to get used to. But I'm going to put it up there, I think, or somewhere over there. I want that mini fridge.
Do you guys think BTUs it's gonna... does that sucker pump out?
Yeah, that's how you know Fonz is a true man. He's looking for the BTUs.
Yeah,
he's
got, I need to know how much power I need to get in this whole thing here. You know, I got my space and I got so much stuff, you know, hooked in here and plugged in. I need to know how many BTUs I'm working with. No,
it's got 12 teraflops of BTU power.
It's probably like 400, 500 BTUs. Probably.
Jay Castaway L says, like, Cole, it could fit a Series X inside of it. I haven't seen Aaron Greenberg's picture or video of that, but that's the first thing I wanted to do was put a Series X in there. Yeah, I want the mini fridge. So that thing is, that's excited people for such a weird novelty item. But that will be, Asa, is that thing going to get scalped and like impossible to get tomorrow?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gosh, Dan.
If it's a thing that people want, it's going to get scalped.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to almost 700 people watching XNC. I'm here, if you haven't caught up, I'm here with Asa from Game On Daily and Jay Fonzarelli of Games Talk Live and his YouTube channel. Well, he calls Jay Fonzarelli.
Fonzarelli. So, Fonzarelli Gaming.
Fonzarelli Gaming, yeah. So I'll call you what I want.
You will. A friend. I hope you call me a friend and call me for dinner, please. I want to come over and
eat
some
stew. We should have dinner
again.
Yeah. We did get to have dinner a couple years ago.
One time,
but
yeah, in and out. And we stayed there till about 1 a.m. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yep. Yep. So the mini fridge is a go. Dang, I want one. But if I can't get a hold of one, I'm going to be ticked off. So let's go back into, let's move into Asa's neck of the woods. the UK gave Xbox Series X the top prestigious award of the best console. Uh-oh. That was kind of a nice win. Did you hear about that, Issa?
I don't think the whole of the UK were responsible for the award. I don't think the Queen was involved.
It was the Parliament,
like that,
wasn't it?
But I don't know. I don't think so. Who was it?
I'm trying to
remember. This is an Xbox channel, right? We could cast a vote here, and the Xbox is going to win here as well. The UK is usually more
cast
split.
Here.
Like,
the UK has quite a bit of PlayStation fans. But to be fair, the PlayStation 1 best platform, which I call bullcrap. Can I call that bullcrap, Fonz? About PlayStation 5 being the better platform right now? Give a mini speech and tell us why you think that PlayStation 5 shouldn't be the best platform right now. 1 year into the generation.
I think there's, okay, they've got some great games, but I think that they are lacking some feature sets on the console. I think Series X has a lot more going for it in terms of features. I like VRR myself, and
yes,
VRR is a big plus. And I heard that it's coming to the PS5 very soon, in an update. But I just don't understand why that wasn't there day one. It's crazy to me. But also, I just definitely like the everything else. You've got the quality of life features, like what is that feature where you can have suspend four games at once.
Quick resume.
12
games. Yeah. Usually about 6 or 8, but yeah.
Yeah. But I usually have about 3-4 games.
It's about platform. Like, let's pit it real quick against, like, a platform meaning like what's on offer in the ecosystem.
Yeah,
what else?
But it's really down to the features, man. It comes down to those features. I just prefer it, those features, over what PlayStation 5 has. Matter of fact, I would go on a limb and say that I prefer the old UI to, you know, the PlayStation 4 than the PlayStation 5's UI. I prefer the older one.
But I do too. I don't really care for the... I'm lost in the PS5 still.
It's not that I'm lost.
UI.
I know how to navigate it now. It's just that I don't care for all those bells and whistles. I just like a basic, you know, get in, get out. And that's what Xbox kind of does. Like, it's really much easier to navigate, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're used to it. It hasn't changed in 6 years or whatever.
Yeah, true, true.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So for me, the this, like, if they're trying to appease everyone by giving both consoles a prize, they've done it the wrong way around. Like, if you're going to talk platform, that's where there's really a massive distinction between the two. The Xbox platform is huge. It encompasses, obviously, the PC and the streaming and all the rest of it and Game Pass and all these sorts of things. So it says to me that they're trying to appease everyone and they don't actually know what either console has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, like, handed out awards, one each, to be fair, which is silly. Because
and
there's
Asa
a massive
said
difference
it,
in platforms.
Asa just said it, too. A huge one, and this goes out to RLE in the chat, who's laughing, saying, oh, he hasn't said a word about games. Game Pass. Game Pass is a huge draw to the platform. I'm sorry, there's no value like Game Pass out there in gaming. Just none. Nothing compares.
Yeah. What's up, Zocker, in the chat? Hey, RLE, let me help you out with the... we haven't talked about games. We hadn't even gotten that far into the discussion. We just got started. Games on the Xbox, they're doing really well in 2021. More games and slightly higher rated. Now, I did a video about this about a month ago where I broke down all of the games that came out in 2021 for Xbox and PlayStation. And I think Xbox won by 0.5%. over Open Critic ratings. So Xbox has brought out some really great stuff. Highlight for me is Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart on the PlayStation. And then I have several highlights on Xbox. Like Flight Sim and Death's Door. Right, Fonz? Death's Door is a massive...
Death's Door was amazing.
Killer game. And it's just been really good. And then you've got Halo and Forza coming out, which is going to be incredible.
Psychonauts 2, another one I think is incredible.
Yep, from an Xbox Game Studio.
I don't care what anybody says about it.
Yeah, really good. So yeah, games obviously are at the forefront, and it's so funny. Like Deathloop. I always say Death's Door. I always mix those two up. Death's Door's been a really great game for PlayStation as well, but it comes from an Xbox studio, so it's really telling about how this generation just got started, and the media has taken notice. They're really happy with both platforms in a time when Xbox, deservedly so, was looked down upon for not playing the game. So I'm glad they are. But let me hit a couple super chats. We got Hargit Johnny with a $10 super chat. Thank you, Hargit. You are awesome. He says, we heard from both Phil and PlayStation about acquisitions. Why'd he have to use that word? He said, Phil said they're certainly not done. PlayStation said they have 12 to 18 billion put aside for acquisitions. Who will PlayStation go after? Square, maybe? Ace, I want you to hit this one first, and then Fonz. Asa, give us a studio you think PlayStation might be eyeing with that $12 to $18 billion.
That's a lot of money. That's the kind of money that everyone says that PlayStation don't have to spend on acquisitions.
Yeah,
that's the kind of money that can get a Bethesda level acquisition.
Yep,
but that's not how Sony typically act. You'd fancy their chances, obviously, with the Japanese publishers, right? Throw my switch. Yeah. Yes, that's the thing that happened.
Yeah.
Sorry, just in the same chat in there.
Gotta give a shout out to DJ for saying that he was talking about Asa throwing his switch in his promo video. That everybody laughed at that, but go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know if that switch still works or not. I guess if they are looking at acquiring, you'd have to fancy that they are going to be doing it defensively. They're going to be looking at studios. All these studios that you talk about when you say, who should Microsoft get? And people like list the ones that they love. They're going to be the ones that Sony get defensive about. And you'd have to look at the relationships that they've got with the likes of Square Enix. I'm not saying that I think this is going to happen, to be honest, but they're the ones that kind of have that PlayStation history to a degree. And they've worked with them a lot. They still work with them a lot. Is that going to happen? I don't think so. But it's my direct answer. I go Square Enix.
That's a good answer. Fonz, is he still your answer, or do you have...
No, so Square Enix, I could go with Capcom. I could go with Bandai Namco. There are several out there that they could try to get. They could buy with that amount of money. They could buy all of them with that amount of
they
money.
They could.
But could. I don't think they're going to do that. Now,
Zucker says, wait, Sony has 12 to 18 billion? I mean, none of this is ever cash in hand. This is always
it's never like that.
Yeah, it's never like that. But Zucker does make a good point. Ace said the same thing. Like, we always think, oh, Sony doesn't have that kind of money to buy Bethesda. And then they said, well, we've got a budget to buy a couple Bethesdas, which is crazy. Yeah. I think you're onto something with Capcom, too. Yeah,
Capcom, Bandai Namco. They've worked with all these. You know, you could name just pretty much a lot of these Japanese companies, and they could just buy them. You know, Sony's a Japanese company too, so it works out. I don't see an issue with any of them. But normally, they don't typically just buy any company, right? They like to say they like to have this organic, you know, growth and everything
with their
developers and stuff. And I get it. You know, one company I thought that they were going to buy that they didn't was Quantic Dream. I was really surprised because they worked with them a lot.
Yeah, they kind of let them kind of go loose.
And now supposedly they're making a Star Wars game now with Disney. Apparently, that's the big rumor.
I need to give them a fair shake because I've always wanted to play Detroit.
Oh, Detroit's great, man. Detroit's great.
I'm sure it is. Yeah,
but yeah, it is a point and click type of game where you know you click on an item, you walk over here, you click this item.
Yeah, but the premise is like really...
It's really good.
Exciting.
The stories are good. Yeah. It's fun to watch and play through. It's kind of like an interactive movie. That's the way I think Quantic
Dream. I want to give it a shot. I feel like that my attention would go elsewhere, but I really do want to give them a shot. Yeah. But I got to give a shout out to over 700 people watching. This is the Xbox Newscast podcast live on YouTube with Asa from Game On Daily and Fonzarelli from Fonzarelli Gaming. And we are talking about we're about to talk about a really big Xbox game that people just didn't see coming. But if you're listening to this after the fact, that's because we're on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts and Pocket Podcasts, a couple places where you can get on demand, listen to earbuds while you're out mowing the lawn. Who's even mowing their lawn right now? We're almost done with that. I'm going to turn off everything for the winter. Yeah, but yes, thank you so much for checking out the show. We know the game, but it did come out of nowhere last year. But there's a bunch of details. Obsidian Entertainment, one of the most, coming out of the shadows, incredibly talented studios that we've heard about for decades, making Avowed. Jez Corden of Windows Central gave a detailed description. Jez Corden... got to see, like, somebody sent on his phone or something, I think an extended gameplay, like a lot of gameplay to watch. The way he described this in his article, go check out his article. Jez really got a lot of eyeballs and a lot of thought into what he thinks Avowed is. And I want to start with Asa. I don't know if you read into this much, but as a fantasy fan, how are you feeling about Avowed right now?
Cool. I read into it and I watched your really good video as well. So
thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
To watch. So if you haven't seen that, people, go see that after the show.
It'll tell Suck you all up. Of the news. No, I'm just kidding.
Some nice footage behind it. Not of Avowed, obviously, but footage in there. It's a good video. The actual information itself, to me, pretty much just cemented that the trailer is representative of what they're aiming for. So it wasn't actually a whole ton of new information in there. And I'm sure we'll go into some of the details of what is there for the people listening. But essentially, if you are familiar with that Avowed trailer that they showed when they revealed the game with the purple spell casting and the dungeons and the arrows and the skeletons and all the rest of it, a lot of people at that point in time were speculating that this is going to be set in the Pillars of Eternity universe. And mm-hmm. that's confirmed now in Jez's expose, I suppose you would say. And he's confirmed that it's a first-person game. He's confirmed that there's a lot in common with Skyrim. And all of this was kind of indicated by the CGI trailer. He's also said, I think the only thing that wasn't necessarily represented in the trailer was that actually it's quite a colourful game as well, from what he's seen.
That's surprising.
And it sounds great. So Obsidian are a fantastic studio. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of a great case study for what we can expect Microsoft to do with all of these studios that they've acquired, because everybody always talks about Microsoft have got all this money, all of this resource, and now they've got all of this talent, and you want to see them marry the two and help these good studios reach their full potential. And Avowed sounds exactly like that's what's happening. And like Obsidian are a fantastic studio. They write grown-up games, compelling stories, fantastic worlds. I really like pretty much everything that they put out. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to Avowed.
Awesome. Yeah, that colorful thing kind of, I don't know, I got excited about that because Outer Worlds is fantastic. Fonz, can you embellish on what you remember from reading the article or kind of seeing some of the coverage of this?
One of the things that I liked that Jez talked about is that this, he said it has deep RPG exploration, narrative systems or something. He says that it's like the Outer Worlds meets Elder Scrolls, which is a big one for me because I love the Elder Scrolls series. It has a lot of spells and stuff. Like you can two-hand spells or one-hand a sword and use spells in one hand. And so like the mechanics and the different playability here, it seems like it's going to be really cool, like really fun. And one thing he said is this, Outer Worlds was Obsidian's take on Fallout, then this is their take on Elder Scrolls, right?
I like that.
I really like that. And I think that another thing, too, is the fact that he alludes to this being an open world thing, where we don't know for sure, but because Outer Worlds, I love Outer Worlds. I'm not taking anything away from Outer Worlds. But one thing I did not care for was there was not a lot of exploration to be had because it was hub worlds.
Just mini worlds that you could walk from.
I like more
one corner to the other.
World.
Like you didn't like, you're right, Fonz. You like Asa, like, you know this, right? There aren't many games anymore where you can walk from one end to the other end of the world. Like you walk organically throughout.
Well, you
could
do
basically
Far
just
Cry.
Fall out.
Far Cry. Well, you can do that, but
yeah, you could do it in Far Cry. But I guess so.
Basically open world game. Like I want this to be a big open world experience, an expansive experience where I can go in and just like, hey, I want to go to that mountain over there and go to that mountain and explore. Hopefully find some caves with a big drake in there, you know, something to get. Oh, that's another thing. He said there was drakes, you know, dragons and all kinds of stuff. And it's set in the...
He said some words that I didn't even try to reread on my...
Yeah.
I ended up quoting a lot of his article because there wasn't anything I could do. Jez had eyes on. He described that experience of seeing the game so well that I don't normally do that in videos.
The Pillars of Eternity world, which is very deep lore. It has very deep lore. So, I mean, go look it up, guys. Seriously, the Pillars of Eternity is a massive RPG. And I'm just looking forward to this so much. Ever since we heard about this, it had me at day one when I heard this is Obsidian's game. Because Obsidian, to me, has not put out anything that's bad. They just haven't.
No, they did Alpha Protocol, which had a low score, but people swear by that game. It's a Mass Effect spy thriller.
Everything they have from them.
Everything's been great. Fonz, yep. You're right.
Yeah. So Outer Worlds, I loved it. I can't wait for the second.
I do too.
Avowed, I can't wait for this. Obsidian, I've said this for a long time now. Obsidian is one of Microsoft's best teams, hands down. Hands down.
People are calling them like the Insomniac for Xbox.
Yeah, I heard
right?
that. Cognito was talking about that on the Iron Lords. He said that for him, it's kind of
Cognito.
Like the Insomniac of the Microsoft, realm.
Yeah.
And, out of all their developers, I had Lord Sovereign on my show yesterday.
Yes.
Awesome show. And he was talking about that as well. He felt the same way. And for me, it's like not quite there yet on something like, Insomniac level, but they can get there. And they're the same way. They crank out stuff with a high, quality level of quality. So that's what I feel about Obsidian. I think they're one of the best.
Okay, remind me to get back to the open world part. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But Jedi Knight Peter with Australian 5 says, you can sign up for Elden Ring's closed beta on Bandai's website. So thank you for reminding about that, because people are like crossing their fingers that they get to try out the game before they can play it. Danny Passion Official with the $2 super chat. Thank you. He says, just saying hello. Let's go panel with two fire emojis. So thank you so much, Danny. Hoping you're having a good time and enjoying the show. We got a lot of info to bring to you. So Risky for the Biscuit with an Australian $3. Thank you. He says Oz is not getting the mini fridge and I'm pissed. So is that official? It's not coming. That sucks. But, you could talk one of your friends in one of the regions like getting you one, because I think it's got an AC adapter. So I think you might be able to make it work in your neck of the woods. I'm not sure. 108 Dragon, my man, says, I'm getting two mini fridges, one for my movie room and one for my YouTube studio.
And I believe him, too.
And if you take the one I'm trying to get, I'm going to come over and hang out in your YouTube studio with you.
I'm gonna take a soda out of your fridge. How do you feel about that?
I'm gonna pack Mountain Dew in there. I should give up the caffeine, but they're making a mini fridge. I gotta keep the Mountain Dew going. I'll do one more. Let's get back to the open world of Avowed. Lord Starkiller, thank you so much for the $5. He says, already have a Pepsi mini fridge. That'd be cool to see. We'll be trying to pre-order the Xbox mini fridge tomorrow. Maybe a full-size Series X fridge is next. Oh, can you imagine? I've heard that actually refrigerators are really high priced right now anyway, so we're lucky that this is $100 for a foot and a half tall if you're in the United States. I don't know, I can't remember what the centimeters is. And
yeah, we called the price, by the way, Colt.
Yes, Fonz had it called. I have the tweet where you said I'm calling it. It's $99.
Yep.
So Fonz never loses. Let's talk about this open world, debatable. Because Jez did say that there were I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said that there were indications to him that it was not hub world, that there were open worlds with caves and dungeons you could load into.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
I really hope it is. Skyrim's great. And I went back and played it recently. It's still a great game, but we played it so much. And I think Avowed has really different. There's guns in Avowed too. Do you know that, Asa? You have spells. You actually have
guns
like
in
musket
no,
type rifles.
Yeah, the Fable kind of era. That's fine. Open world, though, Avowed doesn't really lend itself to being hub worlds in the way that the Outer Worlds does. The Outer Worlds, like when Mass Effect came out back in the day, you're talking about whole planets, so you've got space travel, so hub worlds are kind of easy to implement. But if you're talking about a game that is more grounded, and I'm not talking about the game Grounded from Obsidian, obviously, but a game that's more grounded in a world,
on foot,
it would be quite difficult to execute with hub worlds, so I'm fairly sure it'll end up being pretty open. I don't want to preempt the super chat that you'll get to in a minute, but someone was talking about the tone of the game, which is really interesting as well, because Obsidian, obviously the Outer Worlds, is funny throughout. It's really hard to tell what direction they're going to go with Avowed, if it's going to be this dark and gritty game like Skyrim more or less is, or if they're going to keep their kind of humor throughout the narrative. But
I would think so too.
It's not going to have the humor, I doubt. I really think the way this is being described anyway so far by Jez, it seems like it's going to have color, it's going to be full of life, but it's going to be Pillars of Eternity world, set mm-hmm. in that world, which mm-hmm. isn't funny at all. So
it's good because that'll be a new experience for me. Like,
yeah,
Skyrim
yeah.
was my first Elder Scrolls game. Sorry, it's just how I was. I'm like a certain type of nerd. Like, Skyrim really hit for me because it was like, felt like Lord of the Rings, which is something I really like. So I'll get to experience Pillars and Avowed, like, in my own way. I gotta give a shout out to Gaz in the chat. He says, all hail the falafel. Gaz, don't rewind the podcast. Don't worry. We weren't making fun of you. We weren't making fun of right? We didn't say
the
anything,
sauce.
Did we, guys?
Yeah.
You guys gotta check out Game On Daily's last sauce video. Asa wins an Academy Award for his portrayal. And
I loved it.
Don't watch this video around your kids. All right? Just don't ever.
Lots of swear words.
Gaz told me that there's gonna be a lot of swearing. I said, Are you gonna bleep it out? He goes, No, it's gonna be raw. And I'm like, and I was watching on my phone going, just flinching, like, oh my gosh. Shout out to Safe. We need to get Safe in here too. He's the other great friend of those guys and friend of ours. So anyway, open world. So we voting. It's open world.
Open world.
Avowed.
Hopefully.
Okay. So you got spells. Like, somebody in the chat said, I'm loving the Doctor Strange vibes that you're getting from the way you cast the spells. I'm liking that too. I'm really looking forward to it. Hey, so when are we going to see Avowed? Like, when are they going to show it?
Oh, you know, I don't do these rumors and speculation. Is it going to be at the Game Awards? No, it's not. We're going to see it early next year. That's my guess.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. Well, forget
I think we're going to see it at E3 next year. I think this year.
We'll see it at the Keeleys?
No, the Keeleys. We're going to get Hellblade 2 finally at the Keeleys.
Just one game for Xbox at the Keeleys?
Well, I think who knows? I hope they surprise us with something. And I want to be surprised by something. Not just like, here's Avowed, because we're kind of leading up to that. Like, we're seeing Jez is talking about it, so you might be feeling, hey, it's going to be there. No, I want a real surprise. Outside of that, I don't know what they could show, man.
Well,
Hellblade
2
is one of those that I really think they will show.
Yeah, I'm with you, Fonz.
Compulsion's game, surely. They've got to be further along than Obsidian.
Compulsion, huh?
There's buzz coming up about Compulsion. Jez said the Game Awards are E3. What was that, Isa? Sorry.
Compulsion. They've just started talking a little bit, so that would be my little guess for the Game Awards. But
okay. Zucker says that Jez said at the Game Awards or all the way at E3. Here's why. I mean, I was telling people that it was possible at the Game Awards since that buzz was starting to come up, but remember Jez saw pre-alpha gameplay, which he says it doesn't look polished enough to where Jez doesn't want anyone to see that footage.
Yep.
He says it's not indicative of what the game will look like, so he doesn't want that footage to leak, and he just definitely doesn't want to be responsible for that. So I'm with Zucker that and Asa. I think I'm with you. I'm changing my mind. E3 would be a better time to show it when it's more polished. So this is an interesting, different topic, but we'll cover this real quick because I think it's really acerbic. What does acerbic mean, Asa?
Acerbic.
No idea. Never heard that word.
Okay, so this popped up recently. Xbox has been sending out probably a dozen or a couple of dozen of Xbox Series X consoles to big Twitch streamers and influencers like they do. I think they just said, hey, we're sending this to you. Share it on social media. Share it with your audience. And it has big, dedicated, lifelong Xbox fans really, really upset. Fonz, I'm going to go to you first on this one. Why is Microsoft sending these consoles to people who don't play on Xbox? And why are the diehard fans unhappy?
Well, they're unhappy. I'll start with that. They're unhappy because they don't have a Series X. They want a Series X. And I get it, right? Right now, there's not a lot of consoles out there to get. And when they do go on sale, people snatch them up, you know, and then resell them. And it's just a bad thing with these guys that do that. But I get that part of it. But I also get what Microsoft is doing, and it's marketing, right? It's just mm-hmm. this is what they do, and it's good marketing, honestly, because it does make people aware of these consoles, and not that people don't know about them, but when they see their favorite Twitch, you know, personality or their favorite influencer on YouTube, and they're going, "Look, I got a Series X, and it's amazing." These people do it does rub off on people, and people sure. will say, "Hey, I want a Series X too because so and so has it." So I get that marketing as well. But, you know, look, I've seen a lot of bad takes on Twitter. One of them was like, you know, "Hey, why don't they stop doing this? This is ridiculous." You know, and it's like people are putting themselves out there being fake outraged for others. They even have a Series X.
And they're really outraged, though.
Some people, I don't think they're outraged. I think some people are just looking for attention, and some people are doing it because they hate Xbox. You know, there's a lot.
Well, I mean, I'm seeing
see who is that type of person on Twitter and on social media.
Yeah.
But there are people, the people that are really upset about it that want a Series X. Yeah, I feel bad for them, but this is just what's done. I mean, this happens every console, you know, drop.
Yeah, Asa, they're saying things like, you know, why are they sending an Xbox to a big influencer that can afford to buy a million of them? And that those influencers don't play on Xbox. They stream on a PC or they like PlayStation more. Like, why don't they send them to the diehard Xbox fans who've been there day one?
Yeah, and you can understand it, but envy is not a trait that you should wear on your sleeve. Like, it's just... Thanks. People are going to feel it. It's natural. And, you know, they want this console and they're seeing it given to somebody else that they don't feel deserves it.
Yeah.
Fine. Don't go on Twitter and show everyone how petty you are, because this is the world. Influencers are influencers. They get things to influence. It's very simple marketing. From Microsoft's perspective, that's money well spent, because if a few of those big influencers go and tell people that this is a great console, they're getting that word of mouth that they need and they're selling more consoles. So... if they give it to random Xbox fan that's always wanted an Xbox but not got one yet, it's one person that's happy, and you'd love to see it, but it doesn't make
sense.
Yeah,
they don't have a million eyes on them.
Water Egg 37 isn't selling the console for Microsoft. So you're not going to send Water Egg 37 a console and go, "Hey, here's a console." You know, they're not a charity. It's kind of funny. Like,
it's not like a dedication reward system for diehard fans. And I got in this discussion this morning.
But they've done that before. Microsoft has done that before for people that have been with Xbox for a long time. Don't you remember they did this stemming all the way back to the 360 era? For fans that have been with Xbox Live for so many years, they sent them free Xbox 360s. And
I remember
them doing that stuff all the way back then for some of the diehard fans. And I think they would do it today if there was enough consoles out there produced. There simply just isn't right now.
Yeah, but that's the problem. I understand people's gripes, right?
I get it.
And I'm with Asa. It's also like, you don't want to show your envy. Like somebody said to me, it's like, "Well, it's easy for you to say, Cole, they sent you an Xbox." But like, I've been doing content creation for like 5 or 6 years. And I just now, last November, got that email where they said, "We want to send you a review console to review." And I had already ordered a Series X. So thanks to Dealer. Dealer helped me get that over to someone who couldn't get a pre-order, so we were able to get that to that person. But like, this is a really touchy subject. Now the reality of it, Asa, is that if they send 25 Xbox Series X's out across the nation to influencers that have millions of subscribers, it doesn't how do I say this? Right now, there are thousands of people every month or every week that want to buy a Series X that can't. And if you grab 25 out of the production line and give them out to influencers, it's not going to monstrously affect.
Drop in the ocean, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But it's still not a good thing to hear, right? I don't know.
You can totally understand the envy. It's just not. Just stop displaying it like that. It's gross.
There's certain people out there, it's definitely not everybody, but there's certain people out there who refuse to go stand in line the day before or whatever, or how many hours they would need
or
to get a Series
F5
X. You know, I'll just get one, you know, next year when they're out of the stores. look, you know, we knew about all this situation with the shortages and stuff. If you're one of those people, you chose not to go stand in line, you know, like I personally did at 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm standing in line waiting for a console, you know, and they don't open up till 11. You know, there's certain things like that that some people aren't even willing to do, and yet they're still crying about it. Like, look.
Yeah, I mean, we talk to people like that, Fonz, because the day that the Series X dropped, I had two of my kids and my wife, like, we were all on separate computers. And we were like, as soon as, because, you know, unfortunately, nobody saw this coming, but you knew it was going to be tough to get one. You had to really go out of your way. And it's just going to be forever until, it's going to be another year or longer until you can just buy one when you want. But
risk it for the biscuit. In your chat said, Xbox gave me an Xbox and I'm no one. So if that's true, you know, and I don't feel like he's lying at all. He's a cool.
I don't know what that story is, but
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's awesome. Yudani Quizada says, Yudani Quizada says, did you guys hear what Aaron Greenberg said about the fridge? He said, quote, we have been trying to reach you regarding your car's extended warranty. Gosh. What does that mean? I don't get that.
I think he's just going off that meme about, you know, the whole, we're trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty. You know, the calls, the phone calls,
you get,
the robocalls. I think he was just trolling.
I don't know. I don't know what that means, but anyway.
And for Havoc,
thank you for the $2 super chat. He says, is it just me? Or does Fonz's voice do something?
No.
Oh, Fonz has such a great voice. Fonz could do any, like he has a wide palette of things he can do with his voice. He could read for Disney children's books, or he could do 1-900 lines. I don't know. He's great.
1-800 lines.
1-900. Yeah. Kate Forever with the $10 super chat. He has some more clarity on the acquisition thing. He said with PlayStation, they have 9,798,432,000 cash on hand.
Woo!
Or $10 billion in available cash. You can see on Fidelity, on Fidelity.com. Interesting. That's some cool investigative work there. Oh, nice. Now we're going to get Asa's going to look up what my Fidelity is. $7. he says, if they have $18 billion ready to spend, that means they are selling assets or taking on debt. So, very, very cool. Kate Forever must have a background in either robbing banks or he knows his financial stuff, but he's amazing. Jedi Knight Peter, thank you for the Australian $5. Says, do you prefer the tone of Avowed trailer or, it's a great question, or the more colorful Outer Worlds? I kind of think they're going to be in between. I would like it to be, says, more dark and gritty like Witcher 3. What's your preference, guys?
Preference.
Go ahead.
Come on, Fonz. Oh, I'll go then. Okay, you love both kinds of games, right? So for Avowed specifically, I'm with. It was Jedi. I didn't catch the whole name, but I'm with that. I'd like to see more dark and gritty for that one. It's kind of implied in the trailer that it will be with the arrows through skeletons and all the rest of it. It's like not laugh out loud funny, as opposed to the Outer Worlds 2, which was a complete like the trailer was just a parody of bad trailers and it was great.
Yeah
The tone of the Outer Worlds is fantastic, and yeah, I'd hope to see Avowed take a more serious tone because we know that Obsidian can do both.
Okay, Fonz, you think
I agree.
It's gonna be
I want a less cartoony vibe than Outer Worlds, if that makes sense, because it makes sense with like Asa was saying, it makes sense with Outer Worlds because the comedic flow, the writing and everything there is very lighthearted.
Nothing is taken seriously in Outer Worlds.
Not too seriously. Yeah. For this, I want a little more seriousness. So I want this to be a little bit grittier. It could have color in the world. That's amazing. You know, you could still have a gritty game and a real serious tone and have color in the world. There's nothing wrong with that, but I just want the characters and everything to look a bit more, have a little bit more realism.
On the other hand, there is there are more kind of high fantasy games that are that like gritty, that little bit dark. Like there is The Elder Scrolls, there is Dragon Age, there is The Witcher. I guess on the lighter side, you've got Fable to look at. So Microsoft do have to consider these other games that they're bringing
out. Yeah, they don't want to have a duplication, right? And you know, you're right. Like Fonz and I have tons of time into The Witcher. The Witcher is kind of dark and gritty, but super colorful. So what I get from this is that Avowed will have that mature tone, but will be beautiful to look at, which The Witcher, I mean, you fight a zebra monster at one point, you know?
Yeah, you're right. There's areas of that world that are very colorful and vivid and everything. So yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah, Witcher's like a high watermark for fantasy games, the way they should look. Oh, guys, I'm getting like super excited about Avowed.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's really going to be cool. Let's see. We got Lars Hansen with the DKK 50. I think that's Denmark dollars, maybe. He says, are we getting one last big Xbox show this year? Maybe with Starfield Info Dump. I don't think so. Fonz, you've kind of...
So I think at the Keeleys we may see Starfield as well as Hellblade 2.
I forgot. Starfield is coming
out. Starfield gameplay.
A year from then, though.
It's 11/11. But we can still see a little bit of Starfield for sure. That could be a thing. Yeah. It's only a year out.
But I don't think Xbox has any big show. I don't think we're getting an XO 21.
I don't think so.
I think that's pretty much it, right? Asa, for events, big events possible?
Sadly, yeah. Still light on events this year, isn't it? So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before we leave the mini fridge talk, I got my moderator sent me something from Target that says the Xbox Series X replica mini fridge. Yes, it happened. Holds up to 12 cans. Limit 12. One per guest.
I thought it
limit
was
one per guest.
It looks like 10 to me. I don't see how it holds 12.
Well, Aaron Greenberg said on the Spaces he's had the fridge at home and he was easily able to get 10 in there. But he said with some creative movements that you could possibly get 12. But from that look, if you're looking at 10 in this picture, they're stacked 2 on 2.
I saw 4, 4, and then 2 up top laying down.
4, 6, 8, 10. Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, who cares?
We're all but sitting I don't here know. Going, maybe it can do this and that, and we can put like a couple of Go-Gurts in there as well. You know, maybe a Hot Pocket. We can heat it up later.
Yeah, he said, do you know what a Go-Gurt is?
Get us a microwave. We need it.
Yeah, yogurt.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that that we don't leave you in like some kind of a regional difference of delicious snack food. Go-Gurts are amazing when you freeze them.
Colt,
I don't like have them regular.
Colt, how many BTUs again?
how many audience. BTUs you getting in the Xbox mini fridge? We got...
got to have a Go-Gurt.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying, limit one per guest, but we got Nuisance with the $5 super chat. Thank you, Nuisance. He says, dear scalpers, please... leave the fridge alone. Thank you. Xbox Mans, he says, signed Xbox Mans.
The opposite. Well, the opposite. You have to say disc up because I don't even want an Xbox fridge. You need everybody to say that.
Oh, yeah. That there's no demand.
Yeah, Colt, you're an influencer. I hate the Xbox fridge.
I'm going to be
damn
so.
Damn you, BTUs.
Be so mad. How many BTUs you got in that thing? If I don't get one of those tomorrow, I'm going to be a cranky guy. But as we were talking about Witcher 3, the artist gamer with a $5 super chat. Thank you. He says, I got to ask this question to Fonz. Is Cyberpunk 2077 worth checking out on the Series X yet? I just got one last week. Woo! Been waiting to play that one.
Yes. 100% yes. Me and Colt talk about this all the time. Look, I know there's like this patch coming for the Series X and S and the PlayStation 5 for Cyberpunk 2077, but me and Colt always talk about this. We don't think you're going to see much improvement like over what we've got now. Like you'll see a slight improvement there for certain things, but it's generally going to look about the same. And it runs great now. There's not a lot of bugs like there were in the beginning. So I would definitely check it out. It's a great game. Great freaking missions and stuff. Side missions are even cool. I think the side missions are even better than the main missions. And the main missions were good. So, solid game. Check it out.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Definitely I play it. Yeah.
I'd,
no
I'd
more woos for
say
me.
Wait. I'd say wait.
Yeah. I wanted to get Asa's. I'm sorry about that, Asa. Yes. Asa, speak your mind.
Yeah, so Cyberpunk... I'd say wait even if you're looking at the PC version. So I've got the high-end PC experience, and I would say wait. even if it's not going to look all that much difference, if they just change the pedestrian behavior a little bit, the game is suddenly a lot
better.
They?
Is that perhaps going to fix things like that?
I'd be surprised if they don't address it. So I would wait that little while and get the game that it's supposed to be. Unless you're the kind of person that likes to replay games. If you're going to play it and then play it again later, by all means. But if you're a blast through once, just wait until it's at its best.
Yeah, I played through it one time, and then I started it again with using a female character this time, and I played halfway through it, and then I stopped. I said, well, I'll see what the Series X patch will look like.
Yeah,
so I'm
going to
replay it, then I'm going to make sure, you know, get all that going. But, dude, I love the game. Like, if you're into the game or into what you see so far about the game, by all means, play it.
Yeah, Artis, you're in a tough spot there because Fonz and I would tell you, just play it. Put it in performance mode. You have really bad dips when you're driving through the city for a second or two, but the game's just so... we really enjoyed it. Fonz and I have like 120 hours each on it, and we knew what it was. And Cyberpunk, for those of you who haven't played it, it really is like a last generation game that came... I gotta say it. It's like a 360 era game on better hardware. Like, it is really like what you loved about open world games during the 360 PS3 era. And I say that in kind of a good way. Like, and I really enjoyed it. And I hope Ace is right. I hope this full patch that's supposed to come out at the end of the year is like a game, literal game changer, because it's a good game. But yeah, that's old news there with Cyberpunk. So let's talk about DC fandom. We can't put any footage up because they're like on strike happy on content creators. Zucker was trying to put out a really big video about all of the Batman and Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad stuff, and it just kept getting flagged. But
copyright strikes. Yeah,
yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. But I watched this stuff today. Asa, is there anything at DC fandom gaming related that got you excited?
Oh yeah, because Rocksteady's game is there, Suicide Squad. The similarities between Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad are curious. Like, why are there two kind of four-player co-op DC games coming out so close together? And you've got two good studios, but one of those studios is just elevated above to... They're absolutely top tier. Rocksteady have made technically outstanding games, but they also pretty much invented the way that combat is handled in most action games today. Like, they're an incredible studio.
Yeah.
So the Batman Arkham games have defined so much that's come since. So I cannot wait for the Suicide Squad one.
Who's doing Suicide Squad? I was paying attention to you, Rock I promise.
Rock
okay, and who's doing Gotham Knights then? Because I thought Rocksteady was doing...
Warner Brothers Montreal, I believe.
Oh, okay. Okay, then... Okay, so I got to say, I was watching the Suicide Squad stuff, and I got more excited about that than Gotham. Fonz, where are you sitting on this?
Okay, stuff? So I'm into the Gotham Knights a bit more right now with the whole Court of Owls thing and the Penguin and everything. That whole trailer really set it up nicely, and it looks like it's going to be much better in the narrative department than Suicide Squad, for sure. Gameplay, I agree with Asa. I think you might get... Who knows? You might get better gameplay because of Rocksteady in the Suicide Squad. However, I don't really care for the Suicide Squad all that much. Those characters for me.
Shark Boy.
Yeah, the shark guy and, you know, Teflon guy and freaking, you know.
Teflon guy.
You know, what's her name? You know, the girl with the hammer.
Harley Quinn.
Whatever. Harley Quinn. Yeah. See, I don't care about the Suicide Squad too much. So
I don't know about that IP. Like, I didn't read the comics. Yeah. I haven't watched the movie. Nobody really told me I should watch it.
Unfortunately, we have two Batman games with no Batman. Like, it's like we're going to be playing, you know,
Batman. As Steeler and I always say, like, we picture Batman in the grate, you know, like he does in the Arkham games where he's looking through. Batman's stuck behind the grate, like,
we got Red Hat guy, you know?
Yeah, Red Hat, Teflon dude. In the chat, which one looks more promising, or which one are you excited about more? Suicide Squad or SQ or Gotham Knights? GK.
Gotham Knights, so far.
I'm curious. You're Gotham Knights, Fonz?
Yeah, so far.
Asa?
No, Suicide Squad for me.
Yeah, I'm thinking Suicide
Squad. He likes Shark Boy.
I like Sharknado.
Yeah, That Teflon one you're talking about, I love the sound of that. I'm all over that.
But Teflon, I mean, the whole Rocksteady thing gets me more excited. Like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's kind of, well, Gotham Knights is, geez, Gotham Knights is taking over. There's a lot of Suicide Squads. Maybe it's about, it's getting close to 50-50 in the chat. Well, you guys are awesome in the chat, by the way.
The chat needs to tell me, is there going to be an Owlboy I can play?
Owlboy.
You know, in Gotham Knights. I want to play as Owlboy.
Chester Cobblepot. What's his name? What's the penguin guy's name? I'm not like super
something
versed
Cobblepot,
on
yeah.
Cobblepot's the last
Cobblepot's one, sure. His voice, I'm pretty sure, is Adam Jensen from Deus Ex. But he's also in the Gotham Knights game, but I didn't listen to see who's doing that voice, if he does both of them. But that voice was done by Nolan North, I think, before. So, yeah, the Court of Owls is a big thing. Zocker87, who has a great Xbox channel, he was saying that the Court of Owls stuff was getting flagged. Like, the phrase was getting flagged. I don't know what he was talking about. Chester Copperpot is from the Goonies. Risk it for the biscuit set.
The Goonies. Goonies never die.
I love that Risk It's is an old school chap like me. And Fonz, but
Oswald
Cobblepot. Yeah. You know what? I'm just gonna call him Chester Cobblepot. Bullet holes. So that's hilarious. Yeah, the chat's like on point as always. But shout out to over 600 people, almost 700 of you watching live. We've got 400 likes. If we can get up to 500, that would make Fonz take his hat and put it sideways.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, you won't do that. But you'll hit the like button, show your support for the show. I'm getting excited about Suicide Squad. When's that come out, Asa? Do you have the details?
It's the later of the two. Both games are next year. They're both 2022, supposedly. Yep. They could be delayed, but Gotham Knights is first. First half of the year. I don't know the dates. Suicide Squad towards the end of the year, I suppose.
Yeah. Danny DeVito played him as well, they said in the chat. Of course, real old school. That was like 1990 or something. Ugh, I don't have fond memories of that. Second Batman Returns, whatever it's called.
Deadshot. That's the guy's name, right? Deadshot. He's in Suicide Squad. Deadshot.
Yeah, I was trying to ask Dealer who's who.
It's not Teflon guy. It's Deadshot.
where's the Teflon come from?
I don't know.
But the other thing is that this GTA remaster, this is...
hey, Colt, somebody said I should voice you in a game. I'm Colt Eastwood, and I'm going to kill you.
You're not allowed to... I'm not allowed to do any woos on the mic anymore. Woo! Yeah. No. Woohoo! Yeah. Woo! Like that. Yeah, so GTA remaster, the trilogy. I was super excited for this, and then they said... that it's coming in they haven't said. There's high speculation it's coming in December. Hey, speculation always turns into absolute fact. But this game's going to mobile. Are they phoning remaster, Asa?
Yeah, it's a cash-in. It's an old game, and mobiles are a lot more powerful than the consoles that this game came out on. So it's not the end of the world that it's coming out on mobile. But I don't know. I can't get excited for the old Grand Theft Autos.
I mean, you played them back in the day, didn't you?
Do you know, I played them. I never got anywhere far with them. I always in those, like that era of Grand Theft Auto games, they kind of entice you into playing a wild criminal and going on a rampage and destroying as much as you can. And you get this notoriety and you get helicopters chasing you. And if you see those stars start to drop, you just start shooting more stuff. And then eventually you end up arrested or in hospital, and it basically wipes out everything that you've done in terms of progress, because you go, well, I'm not saving that.
All your stuff's gone. Yeah, so all the
get
guns.
Get good,
yeah.
Asa. Get good.
It's not about getting good,
no,
though.
No, I know
purpose,
what you're talking about.
Right?
The five-star, like, is real.
They removed that exactly. I was playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas 360 version, which is, this is kind of a weird twist, it's ported up from the mobile version to the Xbox 360, back compat on the Xbox One, and I was playing it on the Series X last month. The controls are absolutely terrible. Let me grab my controller. I talked about this in the show a couple weeks ago. How do I explain this? Shooting, you aim the gun with right trigger instead of this is how you normally shoot a gun. Like in most shooters, this is how you hip fire. Yep. Okay. If you're following along.
Yes.
This is how you shoot in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. You hold the trigger that you normally shoot with to aim, and you don't push B. You push B to shoot. You don't push it. You're supposed to hold the button. There's like no recoil management. So you hold the aim button, or you hold the fire button and push B to shoot. And what I can't describe unless you play it is you can't move the camera at will while you're shooting. I don't even know how he played games like this back in the day. I'll throw my controller like Asa through a Switch. So I'm pretty sure they're going to update those controls to modern because you can't play a game like that. But I don't know. Fonz and I played a lot of Vice City and San Andreas, right?
San Andreas, Vice City. Yeah, of course. And I don't know if I want to go back to it. Like, it's just a remaster, right? It's not a remake. And it's not
a remake, far as I've heard.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go back to it. Okay, here's the thing. And I'm going to look at the camera and tell the people out there, stop playing Grand Theft Auto games. Just stop. So we can get GTA 6.
Stop playing GTA
I
online.
Want GTA yeah. 6. Yeah. Okay. That's it. All right. I'm back. I want GTA 6.
Yeah, you blacked out for a minute there.
I want GTA 6.
The GTA 5 remaster's coming next year, supposedly.
No.
Stop
playing it. Don't buy it. Wait for GTA 6. That's it.
Yeah, Ariskit says stop paying money to 2K, but they actually pulled that San Andreas version I was playing last month. They pulled all those games off the store, so people can't play them. Here's where I think it gets terrible. I think they know that this remaster doesn't look that much better, because San Andreas just looks a little nicer than the Xbox original version.
A little bit.
With this mobile version, but I bet you they really phoned in. And someone said that the control scheme is more like GTA 5, so it will be modernized. But I think it's not going to look nice. It's going to look super dated, and they've pulled those old legacy games off the store so people can no longer buy them. And I heard that I can't even reinstall. Yes. I should look.
And here's the rumor.
San Andreas.
Colt, here's the rumor. 3 games remastered, $70.
$70. Oh, I didn't think about that.
$70.
Banger. So,
yeah. Just put your wallet down. When you go to the counter with the 3 games in your hand, or you're going to buy it online and you're about to put your credit card information in, just think about that. If you stop playing the game, hopefully one day Rockstar will come out with GTA 6 someday soon. Because they're just living off the cash cow of GTA, you know, past GTA games, especially GTA 5. Yep. Why in the hell are we going to buy it for the 18th time? Next year.
They will, though. People will buy it. Hey, Asa, did you know that there's been 5 Battlefield games since GTA 5 came out?
I could have mapped it out. Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot.
For Havoc, thank you. No thank you, Havoc, for the $2 super chat. He says, sorry, Colt. Fonz is my new favorite. Y'all are great. Hey, For Havoc, get your butt over there and subscribe to Fonz's channel. Hey, check out his podcast on Sunday.
Kick him out right now. No, I'm just kidding. I love you.
Yeah, make sure you
We're just having fun here, man. Seriously, I just think it's a shame that Rockstar keeps just quadruple, you know, dipping into all these franchises. Like, make a new one. Like, I know they are. They probably already made GTA 6 last gen, and it's just sitting there. They're just laughing at us all, you know?
Well, you know what? Every giant like eventually falls, and if you think about it, since Rockstar has been around, they've been like delivering killer games.
Yeah,
and lately they've been
Red Dead Redemption
2 is incredible.
Red Dead Redemption 2 is an example there, like Rockstar behavior. So Grand Theft Auto, you've mentioned that they took these old ones off of the store to stop people being able to play them at that better price. They've gone after all of their community and fan projects as well to get all of those taken down. So anyone that's modded it to enhance it, they've gone after them legally, which is like pretty low anyway. That's your fans you're attacking there. And then you think of
people
things like Red Dead Redemption 2.
Time and money and effort
affection.
Into those mods.
They did that because they loved the games and it's a fan project. So it's not a nice way to treat them. But then you think of Red Dead Redemption 2. How many people have requested Series X enhancements for Red Dead Redemption 2?
Yes.
60 Fine. Frames per second. And you know that Microsoft would be all over it and would do all the work for it. And Take-Two are saying, you better not. And that's sad.
That's just that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're going to be the biggest and the best, you got to act like, you got to act right for these people.
They don't,
I don't
have
know.
To because Grand Theft Auto 5 is still raking in loads of money. So they can carry on doing what they're doing, but it's a shame.
And that's the only reason why I was pleading to the people, you know, stop playing it, because we do need Grand Theft Auto 6 to come out already.
I know exactly why.
We need it. We need it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Everybody's clamoring for a game like this. That's why people are even, like, looking over at Saints Row going, I guess you'll do for now, you know? They're just waiting for another GTA-style game.
You don't get open-world city sandbox games hardly ever.
No.
I mean, I don't think we even got one last generation, besides Crackdown 3.
And Grand Theft Auto 5, again. Like, it's just...
like, did we get an open-world sandbox city game where you get in and out of vehicles? Just Watch Dogs, I think it was the only one. Watch Dogs 1 and 2.
Watch Dogs has been carrying that torch, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's just unfortunate. So there's a market there. But Saints Woke, yeah, I know... Hear me out on this one. I know we're not happy with Saints Row. Try and sit back in your chair a little bit and just get the tension off your shoulders. I know some things look super cringe, but I saw some gameplay. I think Fonz might be with me on this. Actually, it looks pretty fun. So there might be a fun factor there that would be undeniable. And I hope, like, we don't want a game to just suck and fail, but I hope that Saints Row is super fun. Fonz, do you think that Saints Row is going to... gonna be
good? Yeah, I've already said that I'm going to play it because, again, I'm one of those people out there who craves a game like this. And yeah. Saints Row, it looks like it could be a ton of fun. It's one of those games you might want to play on mute, you know? It's one of those games you might just want to see the characters when they start talking, just mute your TV. And then as soon as they stop and it gets back to the action, turn it back up full blast and just have fun. You know, this game looks like it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I know. And Fonz, you've been fairly critical in the right ways and
very
making
fair.
Fun of the they're paying off their student loans or something by robbing banks.
Exactly. And you know what? That's the premise of the story. That's the whole story. Basically, they're just trying to pay off their student loans, so they decide to be gangsters. It's weird. But
gangsters just aren't prevalent. And one thing you have to remember, like when Saints Row came out, it was riffing off of San Andreas. But San Andreas took place in 92 at the pinnacle of like South L.A., you know, in L.A., like gang activity. Right. And like that was like a big thing in pop culture as well.
I'll say
for
this.
Movies, music. Yeah. So Saints Row is riffing off that.
Yeah,
but you fast forward to 20 years later.
Yeah, but I think you'll see a lot of Bitcoin being brought up in Starbucks.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah,
like this, it's going to be that type of game, you know?
Yeah,
it reminds
right.
me a lot of Watch Dogs 2. I'm getting those vibes.
Yeah, and I'm not...
and Watch I hated Dogs those too. Characters in
yeah,
Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah, I didn't like that. But I got to give a shout-out to the chat, who more than once, people in the chat said, I would rather get a Sleeping Dogs 2. Ace, have you played Sleeping Dogs?
I love Sleeping Dogs. That's such a good game. I would love to have a Sleeping Dogs 2 as well. They went off. They were making an online version of it, and it got scrapped a long time ago.
Really?
I've been all over that as well. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, rather than the sequel that people were asking for, they started pushing it towards live service, and then it just got cancelled. But, yeah, amazing game.
Yeah, that's a great, great game that came out of nowhere that, well, came evolved from another game. But, yeah, that's old news, but... I'm glad that you guys have really good taste. I know Fonz loves Sleeping Dogs as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Well, let's wrap up the show. It's super late for Asa, and let's start
super
with
late
Asa.
For me, too.
Yep.
It's almost 7 o'clock here, p.m.
Are you done with work for the night, or do you have to go back tonight?
No. I'm working day shift this week, yeah.
Shout out to Fonz for...
First time in like 7 years.
Crazy. For not getting any sleep. Fonz is awesome. I had to make a last minute change today, and Fonz and I were talking on the phone. He's like, I love to come in and save your show with Asa.
Save your show. I said I'd fill in if you need, and yeah, it's great to be here.
Yeah, of course. Got to have Fonz.
Really awesome to be here, man. I thank you very much for inviting me, even though I was your second choice or third choice or fourth choice. Who knows? But thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, everyone, you know, canceled on me. Fonz, can you do me a solid and put a cardboard cutout in front of your camera?
I don't normally think about you when I need somebody, but hey, you know, I got a spot and it's an hour away. Come on. You know? That's basically what happened. No, seriously. Colt's been a great friend of mine for now 4 years. Awesome guy. And of course, I'd be here for you anytime, Colt. It's been a lot of fun. Asa, you're an awesome guy. I just met you a few months back and really like what you do and everything and love the company. It's great to be here. You can find me at Fonzarelli Gaming where I do my, I try to make videos. I haven't made one in like a couple of weeks, but that's because I've been real busy. But I will. But I do my whole freaking podcast there, Games Talk Live, every Sunday, 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. East Coast. And I have a great time talking with people there. Usually one-on-ones, but sometimes I do one-on-two, whatever. But it's a lot like this show in a way.
Yes, we really both try and run a very similar show to bring in some of everybody's favorite people. Fonz does a one-hour show. He does a five-question trivia. He's got the 80s aesthetic going on, so definitely check out his show in the afternoon, just a little bit after Iron Lords.
Yep. Colt's been on the show. If you haven't seen my show, Colt's been on there. I've had the Iron Lords on there. Yeah. I've had Gaz. I've had so many people from this community. And
keep an eye out. He's going to have some cool guests come, so keep an eye out. Make sure you sub to Fonz.
Yeah.
Asa.
Yeah.
It's time for the pitch. Tell them again this site and this channel that you're part of and what to expect from you in the near future.
Yeah. I don't know. No idea. Some stuff. It's going to be great. Seriously, though, I mean, like you were just saying, Games Talk Live is a fantastic show every week. So do check out Fonz's channel. It's only an hour. Asa. Nice and concise and fun to watch. And obviously, XNZ is a great place to be. So I'm really happy to be here. It's great talking to you two, as always. It's great talking to everyone in chat. Chat's been, I don't know, either the moderators have been on fire or chat's just really nice. Like, really good.
I have awesome moderators, yeah. Shout out to Happy Mom in the chat and for Fonz helping moderate. And I think Lito's here, too.
Yeah, I'm going to go with both. Awesome moderators, awesome community behind it as well. So great. Love it. Me, you can find me on Twitch and Twitter and YouTube as Asa_GameOnDaily. And I am on the Game On Daily platform /website constantly, which is, like I say, it's a social platform. It's a news aggregator, but it's a very social experience. It's supposed to be. So get on there, get some friends on there, and you'll start to see the news that that is presented to you very much tailored to what you and your friends are talking about. And that's the point of that platform, to help you find creators that you're interested in and content that you're interested in. So please do check it out. And yeah, that's it.
Also, let me add, Asa, today when I was rounding out topics about what we were going to talk about, I do this very often. Go to Game On Daily Live or GameOnDaily.com. And he's not selling it to you. It's a news aggregation site. So if you go to it, all of the recent gaming news is there in a short headline and a picture. And you click and it takes you directly to the actual article. So if you want to know what's been going on in the news, that is a place you should have bookmarked, Game On Daily. And you can, like, no ads, and it has everything for gaming news. So it's a good place to be. So anyway, yeah. So what's the next thing, you guys? What's your next project? Are you doing more streams?
I stream every day on Twitch. Gaz has another Source video coming that I'm absolutely terrified of, I tell you now. The way that he talks about this, it's going to be raw. But that's something to look forward to. And obviously we have every Saturday, I'm not going to math out the times across the world right now because it's like 3 a.m. here, but every Saturday we have our Go Live show as well. We've got some new things in the works that you'll find out about soon.
What's your Twitch channel, Asa?
Asa_GameOnDaily.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah. Sometimes I'll join Asa in a game and he's like, Colt, I'm live streaming, so don't say anything crazy. He says that every time. But yeah, thank you so much. This is XNC, the Xbox Newscast podcast. And I'm Colt Eastwood. And you're listening to my beautiful voice. If you're on Spotify, Google, or Apple Podcasts, or Pocket Podcasts, or Pocket Rockers, right, Fonz? But yeah, thank you so much, guys, for checking out the show. This will be up on podcast platforms in the coming hour, and I will get timestamps up as soon as I can. You guys are amazing. Shout out to over 700 people that are watching live. chat. You guys have a good night. Thank you, Asa and Fonz, and I'll see you on the show again real soon.
Thank you, chat.